His name is wonderful. His name is wonderful. Jesus, my Lord. Cherish that beautiful name. Cherish that wonderful name. Cherish that matchless name. That name is Jesus.
Thank you for letting me sing that this morning. That's, like I said, that's always been one of my favorite Christmas songs. Like I said, it is good to be back with you this morning. Bell or no bell. Thought I was going to be here last week, and I got in excited, got back to the office after I'd already been out three times with mail trucks full of packages, and lo and behold, Amazon decided to ship us a whole nother tractor trailer load of packages. So I went out three more times. It was a long day, but, thankful to be here, Christmas Eve. Went into work at 6 o'clock and, ended up getting off a little after 2. And, we were talking Wednesday night about the things that we love most about Christmas and the memories that we love most. And I mentioned, getting to hear my grandfather read the Christmas story from the book of Luke. And, my family always celebrates on Christmas Eve as the biggest part, at least, because we have 30 or 40 that get together for dinner and exchange gifts. And, then Christmas Day we spend with our immediate families. But, I knew I was going to be late at best, and, got home about 9:30. And, of course, my grandparents had already left. Got to see some cousins and aunts and uncles and things. And, I did get to hear that Christmas story though over the phone, thanks to modern technology. But, you know, as I was planning out how I was going to spend Christmas and, not knowing for sure what my schedule was going to be like. And then when that schedule came out, seeing that I was one of those that was selected, for Christmas Eve, gotta admit to you this morning that I was disappointed. I would have rather worked Christmas Day than Christmas Eve, honestly. But, and I began to, you know, grumble to myself, you know, oh, I can't believe I gotta work Christmas Eve. I haven't had a day off yet. And it's just, you know, one thing after the other. And then, as is usually the case, Heavenly Father started pushing me the other direction and saying, at least you get to go home. At least, unlike the last 9 months, for me at least, I have a steady job and something that I can count on, and began to weep. And then Monday when I was out on my route and got the news of that attack in Afghanistan, and not knowing all the details, not knowing if there were any losses, just knowing that there had been an attack, and knowing that I've got 6 or 7 of my close friends that are in that general area right now. The fear and that came over me, not knowing if they were safe. And then as I began to get the news of how many were lost and began to see the names and the pictures and just the sorrow that I felt for those families. Can't imagine as most of us were planning Christmas dinner and Christmas festivities, they were starting to have to plan funerals. Definitely is something to put you in your place and and to bring things into perspective. That's not the sermon this morning, as they say on the radio. That's just a thought. We've celebrated Christmas. We celebrated the child and the nativity and all the wonder and the things that go along with it. And if you keep going in the story, you'll see the story of what the Bible simply calls the wise man. And although modern society has the picture, just like you see here, with the wise men at the nativity, that wasn't exactly the case. My mom used to get frustrated at me because as a little kid, she would put out a nativity that looked just like this under our tree, the exact same one. And I think it's from Home Interiors, if I'm not mistaken, knowing how many Home Interiors things that my mom used to have in the house. But I used to take those three wise men and I'd put them off. Because she'd put them on the mantle and I'd put them on the other side of the mantle, showing that they were still far away. And she'd say, no, it's okay. It's just a picture. And this morning I want to talk about the wise man. And even before I came to this church and before I inherited that duty of changing the sign, one of the things that I've always enjoyed doing when I'm driving around and all over the country is looking at church signs, looking at the messages. And some of them just simply say when the service is going to be. Some of them have a serious message. Some of them have something cute, something funny. One that you see many times around this time of year, and you see it on bumper stickers and t-shirts and things, is wise men still seek him. This morning, that's what I want to talk about, is seeking Christ. If you turn your Bibles to the book of Matthew. Book of Matthew chapter 2. We'll not keep you long this morning. Hopefully I don't fall asleep standing up here, as, like I said, I've been out since 6 this morning delivering packages. Matthew chapter 2, starting in verse 1, it says, "Now when Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea, in the days of Herod the king, behold, there came wise men from the east to Jerusalem, saying, 'Where is he that is born king of the Jews? For we have seen his star in the east and are come to worship him.' When Herod the king had heard these things, he was troubled, and all Jerusalem with him. And when he had gathered all the chief priests and scribes of the people together, he demanded of them where Christ should be born. And they said unto him, 'In Bethlehem of Judea, for thus it is written by the prophet, And thou, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, art not the least among the princes of Judah, for out of thee shall come a governor that shall rule my people Israel.' Then Herod, when he had heard privately, called the wise men, inquired of them diligently what time the star appeared, and he sent them to Bethlehem and said, 'Go and search diligently for the young child, and when you have found him, bring me word again, that I may come and worship him also.' When they had heard the king, they departed, and lo, the star which they saw in the east went before them till it came and stood over where the young child was. When they saw the star, they rejoiced with exceeding great joy, and when they were come into the house, they saw the young child with Mary, his mother, and fell down and worshipped him. And when they had opened their treasures, they presented unto him gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. And being warned of God in a dream that they should not return to Herod, they departed into their own country another way." Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for this opportunity to gather in your house this morning, to sing praises to you, to fellowship, and now as we open up your word to see what you have for us for the time that we have left, I pray that you would be with me, that my words would be yours and not mine, and that the message would be one that would touch hearts today. We thank you for your blessings, and we pray in Jesus' name. The story of the wise man, something any child could tell you. The Bible is full of individuals that you might call wise. There's ones in the Old Testament like Ruth, and others like David and Martha and Mary and Solomon, these that when you read their story and the things that they've done, we would call them wise. The Bible simply calls these men wise men. We aren't given their names, although legend and history has put names with them. We don't know exactly how many there were. We don't know anything more than that they came from the east, probably what is at this time Babylon, the Mesopotamia area. And we know that they brought gifts and that they followed a star because they knew what they had studied in the Old Testament that the Messiah was coming. Their king was going to be born. This morning, using these as history and tradition gives us three men, well, however many there were, these wise men, I want to follow their example this morning and to talk about seeking Christ. First of all, we can see that wise men still approach him. Like I said, our text calls these men wise. The phrase magi comes to mind because that the magi were men that were skilled in philosophy and medicine, religion, natural science. They were also interpreters of dreams. And they were greatly interested in astrology and watching the stars. And they believed that when different stars would come, that it was a sign of other things that were coming. And just as the prophets had foretold, they saw a new star in the east and they followed it. Like I said, we don't know where, for sure where they came from. Probably ancient Babylon. And if they were from this region, like I said, they would have access to the Jewish scriptures, the Old Testament, the prophecies. And they knew exactly what this star meant. That prophecy from Numbers 24, which says, "There shall come a star out of Jacob, and a scepter shall rise out of Israel." These men were truly on a spiritual journey. They didn't know for sure what they were going to find. Maybe they thought that this star was going to lead them to a palace of a king. I'm sure if they had thought that they were going to become, that they were going to come to this humble little home of a carpenter and this young girl and to find this baby, that many would deem this family as one that was in poverty. One that perhaps if we had walked up on it not knowing, we would have simply walked by because we wouldn't have been able to see what truly was before us. They were seeking. Like I said, we don't know how many there were. Although tradition and history has given us names for them, we don't know for sure their names. But one thing that we do know for sure, that they were coming to Jesus to honor him. They traveled many miles to find the small child. They'd traveled through deserts. They'd crossed mountains. Perhaps even had to ford rivers. They'd endured hardships and faced bandits and other things just for the sake of coming to Jesus. They felt that they would find everything that was going to make all their trials and hardships worth a while. And they were right. Just as in our cantata, we sang about finding everything that we need in the manger. They knew that if they found the Christ child, they would find everything that they could ever need. Some 2,000 years later, wise men still come to Jesus. When a person knows the consequences of unbelief and does nothing about it, that person is not living a life based in wisdom. And if you follow what the Bible says, that person, the Bible calls a fool. John says, I said therefore unto you that ye shall die in your sins. For if you believe not that I am he, ye shall die in your sins. And elsewhere in Proverbs, we see that he that being often reproved hardeneth his neck shall suddenly be destroyed, and that without remedy. Elsewhere in Proverbs, we see, if thou be wise, thou shalt be wise for thyself, but if thou be scornest, thou shalt alone bear it. Wise men come to Jesus, but fools do not. Psalms says, the fool hath said in his heart, there is no God. They are corrupt. They have done abominable works. There is none. I don't know about you, but the wisest moment in my life, there have been some not so wise moments, but the wisest moment in my life was when I, as a little child, knelt down, accepted Christ. As the Bible says, we were all dead in our trespasses and sins. We were lost in sin and separated from God. I'm so glad that in that condition, though, even as a young child, Christ came to us. He opened our eyes. He showed me the condition that my soul was in, even as a 5-year-old kid, and pointed me to Calvary. Just as those in the Old Testament that had been bitten by the serpent, that had to look up to the serpent that was on the pole to live, looking up to Christ's cross, brought salvation. Wise men still approach him. They still seek him. No matter what you have to go through, no matter what desert you have to cross, no matter what hardship you may have to go through to get to him, if you are what we would call a wise person, you'll still approach him. You'll still make the effort. Not only do wise men still approach him, wise men still adore him. The wise men in the first part of the scripture that we read were telling King Herod their desire to find the young king and to worship him. When they do find him later on, in verse 11, we see that they fall down before him and worship at his feet. Isn't it amazing that what some would call heathens, because they practiced some things that weren't exactly biblical, had enough insight to recognize when they were in the very presence of God himself? The very presence, and to recognize the glory of the one whom they'd found. Here we are, over 2,000 years later, and yet still others today turn their face. Christ is standing right before him with his nail-scarred hands reaching out to pull them in, and yet they turn their hearts. They approach him, they adore him. We see that they adorn him with gifts. Each one of those gifts had a special meaning. We see that they gave him gold because they knew he was the king. We see that they gave him frankincense. And if you'll study out what frankincense was used for, you'll see that it was a very priestly gift because it was the very incense that was used by the high priest in the temple. They knew not only was he the king, he was the high priest. They also brought him myrrh. As a kid, you don't really know what frankincense and myrrh are. But if you study that out, you'll see that myrrh was something that was used by ancient undertakers in the embalming process. So even in Christ's birth, he was being prepared for his death. When Mary wrapped him in those swaddling clothes, there again, if you study that out and look at what those swaddling clothes actually are, it's the same thing that they wrap the dead in, the rags of death. They approached him, they adored him, they adorned him. In closing, wise men still acknowledge him. We see that God warned these travelers in a dream that even though Herod had said, once you find this baby, come talk to me, because I too want to go and worship him. The only thing that Herod had in his mind when these wise men were telling him, there's a king being born, was, I'm the king. I'm the only king. Fortunately, the wise men were wise enough to know not to go back to Herod. They acknowledged, like I said, that Christ was the king. He was the high priest. And one day, he would be the ultimate sacrifice. I don't know what you're seeking this morning. I don't know what you're in need of this morning. We've heard needs during prayer request time. We've heard things mentioned. We've heard and seen things happen in the past week that have broken our hearts. This Christmas season, this year, 2015, I don't know about you. For me, it's been one of the hardest years of my life. One of the most stressful. But I'm going to tell you, through it all, just as that song they sang this morning, through it all, learn to trust in Jesus. No matter what you're going through this morning, we serve a God that didn't stay in that manger. We serve a God that didn't stay on the cross. We serve a God that was buried and rose again and lives triumphantly. And if you will seek him this morning, there's another song that says, all the while I was looking and seeking for him, not knowing that he was seeking for me. God wants to live within you. He wants nothing more than to call you his child. Whatever your need this morning, if you have never sought him, if you have never realized I'm lost without Christ, I urge you to do that this morning. We're coming up on a new year. How great. All those other resolutions, I think they say by February, over 90% of them will already be broken. But if you will accept Christ, that is one resolution and one thing that cannot be broken. That is one thing that will make 2016 the best year of your life. No matter what hardships come, no matter what trials may come in your life, you can say, through it all, Christ has been walking right beside me. This Christmas, it seems like it was here and gone in a flash. Have you opened up that gift that God has wrapped for you in those swaddling clothes? Have you accepted him? Maybe you have. And maybe you've wandered away. Maybe like so many, we know. You know God. You've accepted him, but you've grown away from him. Today, you can come back to him. Just as that father in that story, the prodigal son, was standing there on the road with his arms held open wide and ran to meet his son that had been lost. God will run to meet you and will hold you in the warmest embrace that you can ever find and welcome you home. I'm going to pray and then we're going to close, and I don't know what else we have planned. This morning, whatever your need might be, if you need someone to talk to, if you need someone to pray with, Charlie and I are here. Others are here that would want nothing more than to help you seek the Almighty. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the time that you've given us together today, although it was brief. Lord, we can feel your presence in this place. Father, if there's one here that doesn't know you, one here that has never accepted you for salvation, I pray that they would do that today, for your word says that today is the day of salvation. I pray that they would come to you, seek you, just as these that we read about this morning. Father, we thank you for that gift of salvation. We thank you that, as your word says, humbled yourself. You left your throne. No other king has ever left his throne to be born into such a lowly estate. Just to live, to die. We thank you for it. Father, if there's one here that has wandered away, if there's one here that knows you, but that relationship with you is strained, Lord, we know that you want nothing more than to build that relationship back up. And a fellowship hand in hand with your children. Help us, Lord, to be about your business, and help us to always be seeking you in everything that we do. It's in your holy name I pray.